Blog Talk Radio.
I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone, and we're here on our Author's Alley in our rotating Wednesday show platform, and I am very excited to be sharing Carrie Gardner. You know, those of you who listen to the show, you know that life has led me on this social media journey, and this is how the show happened. It wouldn't be here if it weren't for Twitter, and that's initially where I had met so many of the women that became guests and hosts on our shows and everything. And then I've migrated over to Facebook, where I have really kind of found that home for me in that social media niche and the conversations you can have. And Carrie is one of the people that I met on Facebook. So we've become fast Facebook friends, haven't gotten to meet in person yet, but you never know. And she came to me to share her book, and it is a wonderful book. It is called Out of the Darkness into the Light. It's a memoir of suicide survival, strength, and love. And Carrie has been happily married now for 20 years to her best friend and the love of her life. And you have to read the book, Trevor Gardner. And they have three amazing kids. She is a suicide survivor. She's an author and a blogger, a motivational speaker. And originally from New England, she now lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I am so happy to have her here on the show. So, Carrie, welcome to the Author's Alley and Word of Mom Radio.
Thanks so much, Dory, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you, and I have really enjoyed reading your book. I will go up on Amazon and put up a review.
Thanks.
And I want to just kind of jump in and really just ask, what led you to write this book? What was that driving force?
The driving force was basically 4 years ago, my daughter, she went to a charter school here in Raleigh, and I was just working at my computer like any other day, and I received an important email, you know, with the big red exclamation point, and I was freaking out thinking, oh, no, what has she done? You know, my daughter never gets in trouble. This would be a first. So I was thinking that was what the email was about, because it didn't really put a subject line in there. And when I clicked on it to read it, I was just completely shocked and devastated from what I read. A girl in Skylar's class, who I found out was a good friend of Skylar's, her name was Mary. She was in seventh grade as well. They shared a class. She was 13, and the weekend before, she had taken her life. And it just, I felt like someone physically punched me in the gut. I just felt sick to my stomach. I was so upset. I was crying. I was just so angry. And I also felt like it was my life, except I was seeing the final ending to the story. Because I was the same age. I was in seventh grade. I was that 13-year-old girl who attempted suicide only, at the time, 25 years before, and I had been ashamed of it. And I never told anyone. Our kids never knew. The neighbors never knew. People I worked with never knew. Because it took so many years to put it away, and it was kind of like a hush-hush topic in my house for after it would happen, that I just kind of didn't want anyone to know. It's something I was ashamed of. And reading that story, I just broke down in tears, and I thought, what if I knew her? Could I have seen the signs? Because I know the signs. I live the signs. Could I have talked to her and told her everything would be okay? Just, you know, express how you're feeling. Get those dark thoughts out. Whatever it may be, just tell somebody. Tell me. You know, I just was distraught. I just thought, I might have helped her. I don't know if I could have, but I could have been maybe a positive influence some way to make her understand that she didn't need to take a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It just broke my heart, and I thought, I have to do something. What can I do? And ironically, not really ironically, that's not a good choice of words, but a month or so later, a school teacher, they said that she had this mysterious death and everything, and lo and behold, after it got around, she had committed suicide as well. So two deaths in the space of 2 months in the same school. it just was flooring. I just couldn't believe it. I was floored. I was like, I can't take this anymore. And then the rise on cyberbullying, and my children personally were being bullied. My daughter had been bullied severely in sixth grade, and I did my best with that. And then my son was bullied 2 years later when he was in second grade. And I just couldn't understand how this was happening more and more and more with all the education and knowledge that we have at this day and age. And cyber, you know, bullying is just the worst. You can't get away from social media. You can't shut the door anymore.
No, you can't.
It's just, you say one thing, it haunts you for life. People can use it against you, even in court. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I just thought, I'm ready to tell my story. I'm ready to tell my story, and maybe, just maybe, I might change a mindset. I might inspire a bully to stop bullying. I might inspire a bully kid to stand up for themselves. I might encourage someone who's been thinking and contemplating and planning suicide to not do it. And so I was willing to pretty much bare my soul of everything I went through, how I rebuilt my life, and thankfully and luckily found the love of my life that I found 3 months after I committed suicide, who was like a, you know, a constant support team, really. He helped me be somebody else, the person I always knew I could be. I just couldn't have been at the time because of my situation.
How amazing
though,
to find that.
So that's why I ran the bike.
I mean, really, though, to find that at 13 in a 15-year-old.
I know.
I mean, it really is just, it's amazing because the beginning part, I mean, it's so real, you know, that you start out with that day that you tried to commit suicide. And so it is, it's just so real, and you don't know where this book is going to go because it's
right.
So real. And then it's so real, but it's so real in finding, again, at 13 years old, this 15-year-old that, you know, in Disney World, I love it. It's such a beautiful story. And let's face it, we're both moms. My kids are grown.
Yeah.
Yours are still, you're still in the thick of the mom thing. But as a mom, when you look at your child, to think that we don't know what is going on in their minds.
Right.
How things are affecting them. And let's face it, as kids, you can't imagine tomorrow. Tomorrow only looks worse in a kid's imagination when they are in that, the throes of all of that. And I mean, for you, let's face it, I mean, this was so medically induced.
Yes.
So much of, I mean, and this is the whole thing, the medications that they put children on, really not knowing what it'll do to an adult. Take a mind that's not formed yet and a brain that is still developing on its own. You know, it really is just, there's so much truth in this story, and that's the wonderful thing about it. And I can't imagine how difficult it had to be. Cathartic on one side, I would imagine, but how difficult was it to actually relive all that and put that down on paper?
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard. It's taken me 3 years. I mean, I finally read through the last proof literally New Year's Eve, so we could get ready for the launch last weekend. And it was really, really hard because, you know, I'm still that little girl in many ways. I think we all are when we have a past that's not, nobody has a perfect life by any means. But some people have a more balanced life than others. And, you know, I used to envy that. And, you know, I'm actually, it sounds crazy, I'm grateful for everything I went through in order to be the person I am today, in order to do this. I keep thinking, why did I go through all that? Maybe this was why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to, I remember hours sitting at the computer. Some moments I'd burst out laughing, like I was talking to you earlier, the Twilight Zone. After I'd written a chapter, I sat down like my brain was just burnt, and I'm like, I can't think of anything else right now. I'm just going to sit down and rest. I put on a movie with the kids. This was 2 years ago. And out of nowhere, I just hysterically started laughing, and Charlie was like, what's so funny? That movie's like not even that funny, you know? And I said, it's not the movie at all. I just remembered something. And I said, can you believe this actually happened? I must have put it back in my memory. And that was the Twilight Zone chapter that I wrote. And She's like, oh my God, the things that you've seen and gone through. I'm like, I know. And then there were moments when I'm sitting at my computer, like the chapter I wrote about my father and how he treated me when, after my suicide attempt, during the process of it still, and then how he treated me after I was trying to recover. I mean, this is who he is. And I have not spoken to him in, gosh, 16 years or so. And even those years while I was not talking to him, I mean, it's been more not talking to him than having him in my life, which is a good thing, really. I have to relive all of that, you know, because I'm like, what did he say? And you can truly remember the harsh, literal things that people say to you when they cut you that deep. And I remember word for word what he said. So everything that I've written literally was word for word. And, it still hurts to this day, but I'm also a stronger person for it because I don't have him in my life to have him affect my life anymore. You know, and I chose that, and I'm okay with that. And so to answer your question, there were moments of pure joy and happiness, but most of it, like the first four chapters, are my heaviest, my darkest. And those were hard because I had to relive it all again. And I've had to relive it all again literally for the last 3 years, to be honest with you, to make sure that this book was pretty much perfect in order to send out to everybody and really, really, I don't know, I just wanted it to be real and connecting. I want people to connect to it and understand that, you know, from what I went through, you can be like me on the other side. Do not do the things I did. You can have the love and the happiness without going through those steps I went through. I hope I can change a mindset. You know, that's why I buried my soul.
Well, you do such an amazing job of it. And it is. It's just a really, such a real story. And I want to take a quick break and thank our sponsor today. Our sponsor of our Author's Alley is actually Dr. Christina Hibbert, who is an author and a psychologist and actually now a radio show host on a different station. And her book, This Is How We Grow, is what happens when a clinical psychologist and an expert on women's mental health, postpartum depression, and parenting finds her world turned upside down. After her sister and brother-in-law die, Dr. Hibbert inherits her two nephews, delivers her fourth baby, and goes from 3 to 6 children practically overnight. And This Is How We Grow invites readers into her upside-down world as she fights to find a little right side up. It's a deeply personal, true story blended with psychological insights. This Is How We Grow offers an intimate glimpse into the doctor becoming the patient. As she struggles to put her theories and expertise to the test in an effort to grow a new family and grow herself. This Is How We Grow demonstrates how hard life can be and yet also illustrates how we can grow, we can overcome, become, and eventually flourish. So you can find her at drchristinahibbert.com. And it really is a wonderful book. And I love that she's our sponsor of our Author's Alley because she really is a wonderful writer. And we are back here with today's guest, Carrie Gardner, and we are talking about her book, Out of the Darkness into the Light, a memoir of suicide survival, strength, and love. And I have to ask you, not that you shouldn't be proud of the entire book, but is there a particular part in that book that you're the most proud of?
That's a good question. I am completely proud of it. I think I'm the most proud of, you know, at the end where I took it upon myself to decide for Trevor and I what we were going to do, and then to fast forward and show, you know, we've been through ups and downs, but we're going on our 20-year wedding anniversary this February 24th, and you know, that's really hard, not heard of these days. I've heard a lot of my own high school friends that are divorced or separated, and I just feel for them. I think I'm thankful every day that I still am crazy in love with this crazy man, and we're happily married, and we have 3 crazy kids. And so I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I've made it through this journey so far, and I still have a lot more to cover, but you know, he's my everything still, and I'm proud of that chapter because I wanted to prove to people that, you know, regardless of everything I've been through, you still can have an amazing life. You can create your life by your design, regardless of your past or current circumstances. So I guess I'm proud of that.
And you should be, you know, it, because it is. It's just, it's such a love story. It's such a, read the book. Guys, read the book. I kind of want to, because it really is. It's just, I can't tell you, you know, from out of the darkness, the light that this book becomes. It really is. And you know, what is the story in this book that you really think will help people the most? You know?
What is the story? I think just getting over intense challenges, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. I wonder if I had communicated with somebody, would I have changed my mind if I had shared how I was feeling? But because there was such dysfunction around me growing up, being pulled in so many emotional directions, and then having a terrible relationship with my brother, and you know, just feeling like a constant burden, I don't know. I think I probably would have ended up doing the same thing. But you know, that I wanted the book to show you that no matter what trial and tribulation I went through, I still persevered. You know, after the suicide, I never gave up. And that's the theme I wanted to run through the book. Even when it was a point where Trevor and I, you know, we're from different countries, we had to overcome all of that to be together, too. There was a lot of logistics that we had to fight through as well. It wasn't just, you know, do we love each other? So it was just many layers. And I just want people to basically never give up on their dreams, on themselves, to start loving themselves no matter what, you know, flaws and all.
Amen to that. Really.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny because mentioning that Trevor's from another country, he's from England, and I was a huge Monkees fan.
Yeah, me too.
The Davy Jones When you laugh about having found your Davy Jones, and you know his birthday being December 30th, which is actually my big brother's birthday, who's
wow.
the best guy I know. When I got married, my mother and my brother walked me down the aisle. Because I, like you, had a father that, you know, I love him, I honor him because he's my father, but was not a good, positive person in my life. And, you know, that has its own things that you carry with it, and you just strive to do more. But yeah, you know, I love that you married your Davy Jones.
Yeah, he's my Davy Jones, that's for sure.
I bet. So, you know, in writing this, and I, you know, I mean, and it really does, it takes a tremendous amount of courage. Did you sit down with your kids and talk with them about everything?
I did tell them right after we got that note. Well, I received that email from Skylar School. That's when I made, you know, the biggest decision ever to just literally come clean with them, because I thought I couldn't add my two cents to how I think she was feeling or what could have happened or how we could have helped or what suicide's about without admitting that I was a suicide survivor. I didn't want to just let them think that I'm just, you know, having a discussion, or I'm talking down to them, or, you know, I'm just pulling it out of the ear. I wanted them to know I've lived through this, and, you know, I got through this, and it's so important to do these steps if you ever felt the way that Mary felt, in order to take that final decision. And so, yeah, we sat them down and we had a really long discussion, excuse me, and we just made it clear that, you know, they needed to talk about anything and everything. That nothing is to be held back. We have to be we always were honest before, but I just wanted to emphasize how important it was to constantly be honest. And even if you feel you're going to hurt our feelings, just say it. We need to work through it. And I wanted to teach them, you know, every problem is fixed. You can fix it. It's fixable. But you have to break it down. You have to assess what the problem is. You have to figure out why you feel this way, and we need to attempt to fix it. And eventually we will, and tomorrow's another day, and it will look completely different than it does the day before. So, you know, I went through all of that with them, especially with Skye, because of Mary. You know, she was hit, or I should say affected more, hit home with her, being she went to school with this girl every day, and then the next day she's not there. And, you know, they're bringing in psychiatrists and counselors and police into her school because they wanted to deal with this head on with all the students in a as positive as possible. So we definitely had a talk, and it was beneficial. And they've been through this journey with me for the last 3 years, and they've seen me at the computer nonstop, and I've had to read it aloud, and they've read the story with me by me reading aloud, asking them questions. What do you think? Because I also wanted, I'm no longer 13 anymore, even though I can still feel that way. I wanted teenagers' opinions, too. I wanted their involvement. And so I have two teens and a preteen, and, you know, I'm like, does this sound okay? This is how I want to say it. And they'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Yep, makes sense, you know. So it was great getting their feedback, and they were very involved, as well as my husband, with the book. So it was truly a family affair, which is great. And I feel very blessed to have such an open, loving family that has supported me with this decision to pair my soul and help others, you know, because it involves them. I talk about them, too.
You do. And, you know, I know that you've done this because you want to help people and want them to understand that, you know, suicide is never the answer. And it's amazing how many families, my cousin Joey committed suicide when I was in my early 20s. And the ripple effect, you know, there's those two schools of psychology that one says that it's the ultimate act of selfishness, and the other says it's the ultimate act of selflessness. And in reading your book, that wasn't a selfish thing. You weren't trying to hurt everybody that you left behind. You were trying to unburden them with you, because you, in your child mind, really thought you were that burden. And that's the thing, you know, especially as teenagers. I mean, the rate of teenage suicide is just, it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
That kids can honestly think that that is the solution to their problems.
Right.
You know?
It's not. Yeah. It's scary. It is very scary.
Had a chance?
I can stop it.
And I know that that's why you're doing this. Have you had a chance to actually speak? I know you know, in wanting to help people, have you had that chance to get out there and really talk about this?
No, this is literally, it's like I said, that we moved twice during the 3 years, two interstate moves, so that put a hold on the book, and then I had to have it edited like a million times. It's unbelievable, the process of writing a book and how many edits you need. You don't think you need a lot, and you need a ton. So I had my, like I said, final edit on New Year's Eve right before the new year, and then rushed the orders to get the book out for my first launch and speak last Saturday, the 9th. And right now I'm in the process of putting together a demo video for 3 minutes on my website, and I'm going to be emailing schools that are at least 100-mile radius, if not further, I don't mind, to talk about it, because you know, it's happening every day. It's you know, there's so many people that are feeling that way right now, or being bullied, are the bully because they're being bullied themselves. There's many layers to all these why everyone does the things they do. And I just want to show them, you know, I'm a survivor. Don't do what I did, but look what I've accomplished. Because if I did what I did, if it succeeded, I wouldn't have met Trevor. I wouldn't have become a mother. I wouldn't have felt life growing in me when I had my first pregnancy. I wouldn't have had a 30-day cruise immigrating from England to America. I wouldn't have had all these experiences and created all these memories. They're shortchanging themselves because they think this is just it. That's how I felt. I saw no future. I saw no hope. I lived in a black cloud. I couldn't get out. I saw nothing. There was nothing that was worth staying anymore. And I know that's how they're feeling, and they have to understand there's so much more for them here. They're here for a reason. You know, and I want them to understand that and to feel excited about their life, find something they're passionate about, what makes them happy, and focus on that, dream big, and pursue it no matter what. I want that passion in them, and not to look at what they don't have or how they're feeling. I want to flip it. You know, I really want to flip it and just recharge their mindsets.
You know, it's such an important mission that you have, and you know, very often kids, especially when somebody comes in to talk to them about things like this, you know, their first reaction is, you have no idea what I'm going through because you've never been there.
Right.
You know, and it's a very different thing to be able to sit down with somebody and say, I've been exactly where you are. Maybe not for the same reasons, you know, the circumstances behind it, but that commonality of thinking that death is better than life, you can completely understand. And so that in and of itself makes you that relatable person.
Thank you.
Well, it's true, though, because especially when you are dealing with teenagers, that's their first reaction because they think you were born that old, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, I even tell my kids, you know, 4 years ago, I graduated high school. That wasn't like 100 years ago, and I was 13, and I was 14, and I was 15. I know exactly what you're going through. You know, I can totally relate. That's why I'm not your average parent. I'm different. I want to talk about everything. I want to be open. I want to support your dreams. I don't want to throw them in college for 4 years if they don't wish to go and then say, okay, now spend the rest of your life hating the 4x6 cubicle you live in. I don't want that life for them. I want them to be different. I want them to find what makes them happy, that they can't jump out of bed and they just can't wait to do it. I want that for them. And then the love of their life. I want them to find what their father and I have, all the kids. You know, it's you know, life is about happiness and love. Like, those are the keys. That's it. It's that simple, really. But there's so much drama and there's so much, you know, I want this and I need to have that. And we're such a spending society and materialistic things. We get past the important stuff. So I just want to simplify it for these kids. Be like, I know exactly how you feel. And their hormones are going snap, crack, crackle, pop. You know, they're discovering themselves. They're discovering others. They're figuring out who the heck they are. I remember, and the funny thing is they think adults know everything. I finally realized when I hit my 40s that we don't learn everything until the last day that we're here. We're still learning and growing, especially if you look for it too, you know, if you look to educate yourself on a regular basis. So, you know, we're growing up too. We don't know everything, but it's great to learn together to support each other through the way, you know, through the journey. It's just fascinating.
Absolutely.
Life. It really is. And it's worth living.
It is. And again, you know, it's an amazing thing. It always just makes me think of Mark Twain, you know, when he was 18 and he thought his father was such an idiot. And then when he was 21, he couldn't believe how much he learned in 3 years. Because as teenagers, I mean, it's really true. I've raised three of them, you know, who are now all adults out on their own and whatnot. But I can remember that it's like, oh, that's right, you're 17. I forgot you know everything. You know, start to laugh, you know. It is true because when you, and especially, you know, here on Word of Mom Radio, we have shared so much about cyberbullying and cyber sex and all of the things that are going on with kids, technological day and age. So the bullying is, it's out of proportion with what kids are going through. And I can't believe that our time is up over here. We're being counted out. So just let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your book. You're going to find it all over the Word of Mom Radio page and everything else.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, if they just go to www.author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Kerri, K-E-R-R-I, Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, .com, you can go to my, where it says books tab, and you can get my link that, you know, order my book that way, either Kindle or soft paperback, or you can always just go to Amazon.com and put in Kerri Gardner. You can find me that way, too. You can either order, again, Kindle or soft paperback. And it's yours, and I hope you enjoy it, and thank you so much.
You are welcome, and I really thank you for being here today on our Authors Alley show, Kerri. It's been a while. We've been talking about this for a bit, and it's great to kick off our January show with you and such an important book that you've written, and such a wonderful read. It's just a really wonderful read, and it's a very real read, And that's what makes it so great. So I want to, again, thank you for being here. Thank all our listeners for tuning in. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Mompreneur Model Show as I continue to share the women behind Word of Mom Radio. So until then, this is Dori DiCarlo. Nice to mess up my own name. Thanks so much for being here. And go out and create a marvelous you. So bye for now.